It's now time for a very wrap-up edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we normally play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service, tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to just pass on by. 2023, we have picked our Game Pass Game of the Year. If for some reason you haven't listened to that, go listen to it. We won't say it here, at least right at the front. I'm sure we'll actually end up saying it. You will probably hear what our pick is, so just take that as a fair warning. We're going to be doing our second State of Game Pass that we do every year. We do one at the mid-time of the year, and now it's the end of the year. We're going to talk about how we feel about Game Pass as a service, how we feel about Microsoft, how we feel about the general industry and the things surrounding it, like Game Pass, the Activision, Blizzard. I keep wanting to say exposition. Acquisition. Sony, where they're at. Nintendo, where they're at. We're going to get a Switch 2 next year, probably. We're going to PS5 Pro next year. We got all these things to talk about. I am Corey. Never introduce us. I'm Corey. I'm joined by the man with the cat, Basher.
Good day, sirs. Yeah, buddy. It's pet time for Buddy. She just woke up. It's her afternoon pets.
That's what's strange is my cat was doing that not too long ago. So they're clearly synced up. So they're synced up by this podcast. Did you know that you could be synced up with this podcast? 574-651-9256. Actually, now that I think about it, we should probably start with that. We did have a text message asking about our... I don't know if you guys have already recorded your Game of the Year episode, but it'd be cool to hear both of your years in review, especially with all the games you cover. And they sent that link to that year in review from Xbox. And so all of them do that. PlayStation does it. Nintendo even does it now. But us, with us being obviously Game Pass focused, we play a lot on PC and Xbox. So let's just go over our stats here. And what's interesting is that you would not know that we are Game Pass. Well, I am not a Game Pass. So my number one game was Diablo 4 with 145 hours clocked. Number two is Call of Duty. They just call it Call of Duty now, apparently. But that would be Modern Warfare 3 with 47 hours. And then number three would be Sea of Stars with 41 hours.
This isn't accurate.
I don't know how accurate it is. I think
I played 92 hours of Diablo 4.
See, for me, that one's accurate. 47 hours on Call of Duty seems sus to me. But
73 hours on Starfield, inaccurate. 61 on Sea of Stars?
But you leave stuff open, though.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
You're one of those. You don't close it like a normal person.
This is true. Now this makes sense. Because Starfield especially,
Anyways, let's go up to the top, the 2023 highlights. I had 589 hours with over 76 games, 617 achievements, 11,446 gamer score. Top gameplay month would have been August.
Total time 734, give or take 100 for just leaving my Xbox on. 79 total games. Just it goes to show, like, when we do like the end of the year wrap up, like how many games we play and don't talk about.
Right.
416 total achievements. An additional 7,722 gamer score. And my top month was September. What was... I had free time in September?
Starfield was September, wasn't it? September 7th, I think. What's your overall gamer score at the very top there? I'm just curious.
Lifetime gamer score, 74,524.
221,370. I'm clearly the nerd here.
Yes.
So take that with what you will. I can tell you that I did my Sony one, and my number one game was Final Fantasy 16 at 45 hours, I think it was.
By default, yeah. Yeah, this is the default. Yeah.
Just the longest game. And then on Nintendo, it was Tears of the Kingdom, which I actually didn't really like. I had 28 hours in it. Number two was Super Mario Wonder at like 15 or something like that. So, so that's just... That was what he asked there. You can ask us what you want, 574-651-9256. But we're going to do a general talk about Game Pass, the state of the industry, et cetera, et cetera. So I think a lot of people have said, you know, this has been one heck of a year for gaming. And I would agree. I think there's been a, I think there is a lack of home runs the way that like an 08 was, you know, like you did Mass Effect and, you know, the year that everyone talks about where you had BioShock, Mass Effect. I think a lot of those games were like home runs. And I think there was a lot of really great games this year, but I would not consider, even though I love Diablo, I don't think that was a home run. You know, that was really good.
It sure wasn't.
But it needs a little bit of time. I don't even think.
As they always do, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Diablo, people have revisionist history of what Diablo does, but Diablo never comes out and you like it. Let's be honest here. So. All right. So let's get the other two out of the way. So, I mean, what PlayStation, what did you play over in your PlayStation this year?
I don't know.
You have no idea.
It's a PlayStation. Like, there are things to play?
I mean, I played Spider-Man 2 and I played Final Fantasy 16, which I think both were okay.
Spider-Man 2 is pretty. It's pretty fun. It is a very safe sequel. Final Fantasy 16. I enjoy. It's definitely not the better Final Fantasy, but it's fun. Final Fantasy, they're really getting the combat now, but they're moving farther and farther away from exploration and actual like RPG stuff. This is like, let's focus on this action part of the game. It's like, that's cool and all, but like, you guys forget you're like Final Fantasy, like tell a great story with great characters, like do that first.
Yeah, I think I'm in the middle when it comes to those two of like, I did not like Final Fantasy nearly as much as a lot of people did. And I did not like Spider-Man 2 as much as a lot of other people did too. I think they're both fun games, but Final Fantasy 16 to me was, I first 20 hours, I was like, okay, like I'm into what you're doing. And then it sort of shows its hand and I'm like, okay, I'm good. But then it goes on for another 20 hours.
Yeah. I mean, but the good thing about the PlayStation, catalog is when you play these games, like they'll release stuff on their system where it's like, even if I'm not in love with it, I can at least walk away with it like, all right, that was fine, that was good,
right?
I don't hate my time with it,
like, right? Yeah, I don't regret my time with it by any means.
Yeah, like whereas like, in the same with Nintendo too, like the. Even if I don't love Mario Wonder as much as everybody else, I can definitely see a lot of fun in it. And I do have a lot of fun in it. And like when they fall, they don't really fall. It's like Xbox. I'm sorry. So far, like my year with Sony and Nintendo, it's like you trip, you stumble, but you didn't fall, type of thing. And that's where like people get like the narrative, I guess, from those two. Whereas Xbox, man, like. I mean, as we talked about it in the Game of the Year episode, your best game was an Xbox game. Your worst game was an Xbox game. Like, right. Like when they screw up, they really screw up.
Yeah, and that's, I feel like Super Mario Wonder, I absolutely adore that game. And I know a lot of people are saying like it's up there with Super Mario World. And I don't, that game's tough for me in that the gimmick of it, being, you know, the wonder seeds, you know, because you just don't know what you're going to get. But the thing is once you've seen it, is it going to hit the same way that second time? You know, if I ever go back and play Mario Wonder again, am I, when I see the wonder seed and I'm running on the ceiling all of a sudden, you know, like, and I'm playing like an isometric Mario game for 30 seconds, am I still going to enjoy it as much that second time? Super phenomenal game. But yeah, and I'm not a Tears of the Kingdom person. I was not a Breath of the Wild person though either. So I understand. Yeah, I understand why people love those games, but I don't.
Yeah, when it comes to Zelda, like my Zelda is to tell me a really good story and character, like or whatever. Like I just like a much better linear experience with my Zelda. It's like the more open world you make it, the more I'm just like, is this a Ubisoft game? Is it? Like, it seems right. Like it.
For me, I think I thought Breath of the Wild was a great template. And I wanted them to build on that. And they kind of did with Tears of the Kingdom. But for me, Tears of the Kingdom felt like the most expensive and elaborate ROM hack ever. Like,
well, when they, and again, I think it's the newer Zelda fan, because for me, when people tell me how great a Zelda game is, and the first thing they tell me is, I built a car. It's like,
right, exactly.
So
that's
what are you playing Zelda for? Like, I don't, like, that's just not what I come to Zelda for. I'm sorry.
It's
just,
yep. I'm 100% there with you. And it's like, I respect it. And I tried, like, I put 28 hours in that game. I really tried to love it. And I was just like, I'm good. Like, I got through like two dungeons and I was just like, I'm good. Like, I respect it from afar, but no, like, it's not Ocarina of Time or Twilight Princess. And again, I'm not mad. That's the thing that I've had this discussion with some people at work. They're just like, I just can't believe you don't like it. I'm like, I respect it though. And they're just like, well, what? But like, you can just go anywhere. And I'm just like, sure.
I don't care.
Right. Like, yeah. That's like, yeah, I did all this. Like, I went in the depths and I found this thing. And I was like, that's great. I'm truly happy for you. I don't care. Like, I just don't care.
I came to Zelda for puzzles and dungeons. I'm not trying to build, like, and that's not even a Zelda problem. That's an everything problem. Like, even Starfield, like, you can build your own ships. Like, I don't care. I played way too many hours of Kingdom Hearts. The worst thing you can have me do is build my own little gummy ship. I don't care. I'm that gamer. Like, just give me the cool thing to drive. I don't need to make it.
Yeah, for me,
that's your job, developer.
Yeah, for me, like, Tears of the Kingdom going in more of a Minecraft direction makes sense from a, like, looking at the market standpoint. But from,
exactly.
But I was like, I wanted them to, like, yo, make more just cool things. There's a lot of cool things in Breath of the Wild, but the problem was, is when you got there, it was still kind of cool. But then, like, I did, you know, I went to that corner, which was basically like a big block dungeon. You know, it was just a big maze, like, this is cool. And I got there, but then at the middle there was just a sword, and I was like, okay, like, that reward wasn't really worth the journey. However, it was cool that I did it,
dude. I mean, like,
I just wanted more in depth of that. So
I think this is why, like, going back to our game of the year conversation, why I love Chained Echoes so much, because it says, here's a mech, go anywhere you want. And when you went there, there was a deep quest with a character you can unlock, or ultimate weapons you can find, ultimate boss. Like, there's a reason to go there and get something immediately, as opposed to go there, find your 15,000 seed of something that goes to your collectibles, or go here and find a sword that's going to break after your 13th hit. Like, what are we doing? Like, nothing. Like, you're not finding anything. And even going back to Starfield, I mean, that Bethesda magic people keep talking about, like, you haven't felt that since Skyrim, where you went through dungeons and found new shouts and stuff. You haven't felt that since New Vegas, where you get robbed on the road. You know, like, you don't get that in Starfield at all, ever. Like, there's nothing to find. There's nothing to find in Tears of the Kingdom besides more parts to build something, to get around the map, to go find something to get around the map with. Like, I don't get the gameplay loop. It's just not for me.
Yeah, and it's, yeah. Let's talk about some Xbox though. I think when it comes to Game Pass this year, that was a weird segue. Let me try that again. Everything you said is true, and so let's talk a little bit about Starfield, because I think that's a great place to start. Of just like, it was a strong year for Xbox. However, if you look at sales numbers and you look at subscribers numbers and sort of the internet fandom, you would think Xbox is about to, like, implode. And it's kind of a weird situation to where I'm pretty happy as an Xbox customer. I still think that Game Pass is their ace in the hole, but, like, nobody, you know, Xbox had a very similar year in terms of hardware sales and subscribers numbers as they did last year, which is genuinely kind of concerning because they had some heavy hitters this year. And as a Game Pass customer, I don't think this has to be their best year by far, right?
For Game Pass?
Yeah, just like in terms of quality games of dropping into Game Pass.
Hold on a second.
I mean, just based on our metrics, we only had 7 passes. Like, granted, 2 of them were Microsoft games, but
of course they were.
Right.
I mean, am I happy as an Xbox customer? I'm happy with the service. That's what I'm happy with. I mean, I'm happy that I get to set and forget a monthly payment and I get a service of video games, you know? Looking at our list of game of the year this year, like there was so much great things on there, you know, but honestly, the games that we liked, the games that we loved, if they weren't on Game Pass, I would have made out cheaper by buying the games. Like I genuinely don't like most of Microsoft's offering. And I think that's been a thing year after year after year. The best thing about Game Pass is that it is a service. And I think I agree with you that it is a bit concerning that they ship the same amount of, like, the numbers are similar year over year, even with games as big as Redfall and Starfield. Like these were your heavy hitters. These were the reasons you have and get.
And Forza, to me, Forza is a bigger one than Redfall, and that just seemed to kind of it. Again, if you go by the internet, it's a massive failure. It's not a failure, but it did not hit the way a Forza normally does.
And I agree, it didn't.
And that's concerning, I think, in many ways.
And it should be. I mean, but it's something we've been saying to Microsoft for a long time. And this is the year Spencer said, like, yeah, we can't make good games, so we're not even going to try. they threw in the towel and just said, we can't make good games, so we're going to buy better studios and just sell the service. I mean, recently they wanted to. Not even recently, all year round, they've been saying they want to get Game Pass on Xbox and Microsoft consoles. I'm sorry, PlayStation and Nintendo consoles. And it's like, they have to. Right. it's their best bet. If you keep it on an Xbox and you keep putting out duds, like, it's just a matter of time before Sony or Nintendo figure out something that it is a good competitor to Game Pass. And if Sony especially comes out with a good competitor to Game Pass, there's zero reason to have an Xbox.
Right. And I think that's where the fanboy and the, like, the hardcore internet forums are just like, Xbox is pointless. We don't need them. Why do they have a console? And I just don't agree with that sentiment for many reasons. And everything you said is just true of just like, Microsoft is bullying their way into this industry, kind of. And you know, they bought Activision, they've invested, they bought Playground Games, they bought Ninja Theory. And this is Microsoft we're talking about. They don't get into this business unless they think they can turn a profit. You know, like, they're not an indie developer. You know, like, there's an ulterior motive here, which is to control as much as possible. They can claim as much as they want on to the FTC and, like, oh, we love gaming and we can't compete. We need Call of Duty to compete, whatever. But I think as a collective, we need to stop with this, like, Microsoft has no reason to be here and they should just go third party. News for you. The only first-party company is still Nintendo. Like, Sony is a third-party company the same way Xbox is. As Xbox leaned into it harder, for sure, you can buy God of War and Spider-Man on your PC. That is the definition of third-party. So if your only crux and your only argument is that Sony is better than Microsoft, therefore Microsoft should go third-party, and because Microsoft is on PC day one, they are third-party, you're playing with these lines that are just kind of, it's not that pedantic.
I don't know if that still even is. You're more on the forums than I am, so I don't even know if that was. Buddy, relax. I don't know if that was. If that's still an argument. Like, I think every company besides Nintendo wants their games everywhere. You know, whereas for the most part, anyway, Sony still is going to. buddy, relax. But Sony still wants the games on their own systems for at least a year or two, whatever. But
that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But just because of that, like Sony didn't do that out of the kindness of their heart. They looked at the same exact metrics that Microsoft did, and it's like, look, there's a complete audience here that we can try to get, and that's, again, that's fine. I'm not mad at either one of them for doing it, but this notion that Microsoft is this cancer because they have Game Pass and they don't offer anything, all they do is buy publishers, it's just like, okay,
that's where the cancer comes from for me. Like, you're just buying things to buy things because you can't make things, and it's disappointing, honestly.
Yeah,
because they can make good games. They have. I mean, again, game of the year is.
I'm just glad to know it's not just my cat didn't start doing that until like 2 years ago. Like, she'll just put her paw right on my face, and I thought she was unique in that. Like, just straight up, just like paw in the mouth, and I'm like,
okay, yeah, lay there, do that, thank you, Jesus Christ, sorry, cat interference. My biggest issue with Xbox this year isn't even with just Xbox, it's with gaming in general, where it's still so very, very top heavy. And the biggest games are no longer even almost the best games. You know, Call of Duty sold gangbusters again, and it's one of the worst Call of Duties they've ever made. It's kind of ridiculous how the state of gaming is still relying on blockbuster titles when your best and sometimes even best-selling titles are much smaller.
Yeah, it's for me. I struggle with when I look at our list of games that we play, like you said, and I don't, the games that I'm enjoying, and this has been happening for a couple of years, are usually not the AAA games. Like, I look at Spider-Man and I look at Forza and I look at Final Fantasy and Starfield, and I'm just like, I could kind of do without any of those. Like,
but the biggest difference between these games, though, is when I'm playing a Final Fantasy 16, I get to that point and I'm near the end or I'm halfway through, and I'm just like, you know what? It's not the best Final Fantasy. I could do with, like, I don't know. It's whatever. Blah, blah, blah. It's still not a bad game. You know, like, whereas when you get that way with stuff on Game Pass, it's, oh, this is just bad.
Like Redfall,
like,
right?
Like and we like to pick on Redfall, but like, that's just so obviously objectively bad, where I stand by Starfield was a bad game. Like, there's no reason to pick that up ever, even though I played 78 hours of it, apparently. It's just no... It's just zero reason to play these games, and to a point where some of these are just absolutely bad. I mean, God of War is way too long, and it starts feeling long, but by the time it ends, I can't call it a bad game. Like even Horizon Zero Dawn. Wait, is that the second one? Forbidden West. Even Forbidden West, it's like, super safe sequel. It learned all the wrong lessons, but at the end of the day, I can't say it was made poorly. It plays poorly. It was produced poorly. There's just a lot of stuff on this, on the Game Pass service that I'm just like, what are we doing here? Like, let me go back to, this is my year review. I played 79 total games this year on Game Pass, which, on the one hand, is absolutely amazing because I played all those games for a fraction of the price if I would have paid for them. So that's the positive of it, the service aspect. But I played 79 games on Game Pass, and we talked about how many, 20 or something?
Like 25, 30, yeah.
Yeah, like, that means the rest of these games were so forgettable and so bad, it just wasn't even worth talking about. I mean, that and then we just don't have the time to talk about them all also. But there are games when they're like, I'm not going to remember right now, but like that one of the ones that was just later released, it was like an RPG made by like a Pakistani woman or something, or two black women or something on the cover. And it's just... Oh,
Thirsty Suitors?
Thirsty Suitors, thank you, sir. That game is god-awful. God-awful. And that's not the only one there. Microsoft is playing a dangerous game for me where they're relying so much on the service that they're doing the thing that like Netflix did at some point, or some of the streaming services are doing, where it says, we have 18 million games you could play. It's like, how many of those are worth playing? And that's a question I'm starting to ask myself more as I try to play each batch of new releases.
And that, well, I push back on that. So that's been a common argument or a common stance of just like, it devalues games because people can kind of go through them and it can make bad games rise to the top. And that is such a blanket statement that I not that you said that, that I draw issues with it, because access to these games will always shine a brighter light on the bad and the good in both ways. And it could also make the good less good, because if more people play it and there's more opinions on it, it can affect the highs and the lows, if that makes sense. Sony has gotten extremely good at making sure that those highs are very high. However, if you asked me, like, is God of War Ragnarok a 9 out of 10? Absolutely not. If you ask me,
it doesn't have to be, is the point.
But the perception is. The perception is that this quality is so high. And it's just like, perception does not equal reality, if that makes sense. And so while, yes, like they are playing this dangerous game of like, yo, do you need to play, I'm just going to pull up a random game here that I know nothing about. War Tales. Might be a fantastic game, might be terrible. I don't know. But the fact that you can find out, I think is more important than being like, it devalues games. And that's, access to them is my biggest thing of like, gaming is such a hard thing to break into and isn't a very, very expensive hobby. It's only getting more expensive too. But in the grand scheme of things, it's actually one of the cheaper hobbies in the long run. But my point is that while I agree that they're playing this dangerous game and they need to curate it maybe a little bit more, sometimes you just don't know. You don't know. Like the gaming industry, the gaming industry is not that black and white. Like people like to think it is, and Sony and Nintendo have done a great job of making you believe that. Their brand is synonymous with quality. Microsoft, not so much. And that's the bigger issue for me, is that the Xbox brand right now is not synonymous with quality. It's synonymous with Game Pass. And whatever the perception of Game Pass is, it just depends who you ask. They need to be better about making sure that when something hits in Game Pass that they're super excited about, they need to make sure that it's good before it gets there. Like Redfall is the antithesis of this, of like the word of mouth being like, well, it's good enough for Game Pass. That is a dumb statement in so many aspects. However, when stuff like Redfall happens, it gives it weight.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And that's like just
tremendous weight, because that's the exclusive too.
Right. Like that should have never happened, and how it happened and how you let it happen, that's only on you. Like that is 100% your fault. And again, I think it's a bad argument. However, I understand how they got there. So.
Hold on, my phone's ringing. Let that stop. Okay, there we go. What were you saying, sir?
Just that I think the last thing I said was, Redfall should have never happened, and it's only on them that it happened. But I still think it's a bad argument to say that Game Pass devalues games, and just because you bounce off a game doesn't mean that it shouldn't be in the service, I guess, is what I'm saying. And that's not that you said that, but that seems to be the perception of like, well, Game Pass is synonymous with cheap. And it's like, absolutely not. Like, if you look at the games that we played this year, we had 15 to 20 very high quality games. And I think it's only going to get better as they get better at that curation process. But they are playing a dangerous game because while this year is good, next year could be a travesty. You know, you just don't know. But, you know, Sea of Stars, Chained Echoes. My computer just crashed. Remnant 2, you know, like Dungeons 4, Persona 5 Tactica. Rush,
all very good games.
Very good games. And they were all available on Game Pass. And it's like, yes, then if you want to, you know, flip that coin, yes, you've got Tin Hearts. No idea what that is. It doesn't look good based on the cover. It might not be great. However, it's not fair to assume that automatically just because it's not Hi-Fi Rush and it's not Starfield, et cetera.
Yeah, I think we're at a point where assuming it's bad because it's on Game Pass is just stupid. I think we're at that point. But we're also at a point where Microsoft is quantity first as well. Like they're still not. It's like you said, they're not really curating the process very well, where they're making sure certain games aren't going to make it on or. Like each week they say what's coming on Game Pass. Not each week, bi-weekly or whatever.
Twice a month usually, yeah.
Yeah, so like twice a month you'll see it, and it's there's some games on there, you know, just like it's shovelware. Like just by the artwork, you're like this shouldn't be there, and it's like why even like list it like.
Right, but to me, the biggest blunder still is like, yeah, that's shovelware, but you know what shouldn't have been shovelware? Redfall. That's a game that you made. You made it, and you still put it out there. Like, that's, bro, that, how does that happen? we can debate Starfield all day long, but there's a level of quality to Starfield that Redfall does not have.
Right.
That, to me, that's just like, if that ever happens again, like you, you have no one to blame but yourself, man. Like, and
it
that's,
will.
Yeah, and that's,
of course it will. I mean, like the fact that we saw it happen with Halo, like,
right? Fair enough.
They truly don't. I'm just gonna flat out say they truly don't care. Like when it comes to the arts of games, they just. There's enough people at the top that just do not care. And it shows when it's not just a game like Redfall. It's a game like Halo. Like that's your baby. And once you can't get that right, that's when I know there's just not enough heart up there at the top of Microsoft. But at the end of the day, they still are providing a hell of a good service. And it's one where it's so good of a service that you're kind of dumb not to have it. And at the same time, you will be dumb to swear by it too, just because there's just so much stuff there that can go wrong.
Right.
Again, looking at Redfall again.
But I guess for me, it's, and again, still I've said this, but it's, that blunder does more damage to them than I think that they'll ever admit or can even see. Like, put a bad game on Game Pass. We have played Game Pass games that are truly bad, but it's like you probably knew. Like I would hope, but I can't say this with certainty. Like, there's somebody that's playing these games, right? Like, there's somebody at Microsoft that's like going to these people and being like, okay, like we want you on Game Pass. It can't be that easy of just like, do you have a game? Yes. How about you're on Game Pass? It has to be more than that, right? But then something like Redfall, right? Then something like Redfall happens, and then you're just like, I don't know about that one. Like, I just, it's truly mind bending at times of just like how, but that, I guess that's been Microsoft the whole since. Everything, right? Like, Microsoft has always had this very strange relationship with gaming, and they talk outside the side of their mouth of like, we want to go third party, or we don't want to go third party, but we want it to be on every screen everywhere. It's like, isn't that third party?
It's
the same thing.
And at that point, that'd be the worst thing to happen for him, because at that point, you're just the middleman to get Call of Duty on more than one console.
Right, and that's...
How long before Activision go... Well, they've been bought up. But how long before other companies jump on board this process? Again, the worst thing that will happen to Game Pass, and specifically because of their lack of quality, a consistent quality, the worst thing that will happen to Game Pass is another Netflix will pop up and say, we do it just as good. And that's the thing. You don't even need to do it better. You can do it just as good. Nintendo does it just as good. It's better. It'll be better than Game Pass. And it's because that quality is attached to it.
Right. And I think that's the nail on the head of the worst case scenario is that Microsoft holds the keys to this industry. Right. Like they buy everything and they don't care at all. So therefore, we don't want them to have it. And to me, it's just like, I don't operate on hopes and wishes. You know, I look at what they're doing, and you can try to claim like they hate gaming. They don't care about gaming. It's like, sure. But then I see something like Hi-Fi Rush. I see something that is truly great that they put on Game Pass. And it's like, clearly somebody cares. Now, the big machine that is Microsoft maybe doesn't care, but somebody inside Microsoft cares. And to me, that's enough to where we can look at Redfall and we can say like, yeah, this should have never happened. However, they also funded that game. They put money into this industry that has laid off a ton of people this year. So it's a catch-22 in many ways, but I just don't operate on hopes and dreams of like, well, I hope this doesn't happen. I can only go by what it is now and say like, you know, for every bad game, there's also a pretty good game. So
I really don't know what the difference, like I will never, someone needs to write a tell-all book about this at some point, because Microsoft really doesn't know how to consistently create quality. And I don't know why they have not figured this out yet, where Nintendo and Sony has. Like, and that's not to say Sony is always making great stuff, but somehow they're able to push out everything that's either pretty decent to good or have their thumb in the pulse on what's coming next. I mean, they released Demon's Souls. Like, the very first Souls game, they released that on the PlayStation and sold gangbusters. It became its own genre. The whole Nintendo magic, everything they do has that Nintendo polish fun factor to it. I don't think Microsoft cares about any of it. Like I don't know, like, the idea that there's someone at Sony that who just loves gaming, just lives and breathes gaming and makes sure all the quality stuff comes out, it's like, I don't believe that person exists. Like, they're just a business just like everybody else. But at the same time, I don't know what the process is or who the person is at Sony who goes, yeah, that's absolute trash, let's not do that. Or, that's going to be big, let's do that. Like, whoever that person, whoever that process is, that's what Microsoft needs for Game Pass for me. Because right now they have a process or a person in place who just kind of goes, we need a quota for this month. We need 5 games to come out this month on Game Pass. Pick those 3. They look fine. And that one's really good. And the other one is eh. And then it's just a crapshoot.
Yeah, that's a good point in terms of, like, theoretically, that should be your Phil Spencer, your Sarah Bond, right? Like, those should be the people that you put in charge of, like, you understand this market what's good, bad. But I think a lot of it comes down to is just that machine that is gaming of, maybe not though, because Nintendo does it fast, but it's like games take anywhere from, depending on the size, you know, 3 to 10 years to make. Whereas you look at something else like at the creative process, like movies, and those are what, you know, a year. Movies don't take that long to make, but there's a cycle. You know, there's the advertisement cycle, and, you know, but they film the movie in 28 days. You know, like that's gaming, though, you have to make that bet sometimes a half a decade before you can see what happens. And I think that probably plays a large part in it. However, like you said, Nintendo and Sony seem to do it better. And it'd be interesting to know what that secret sauce is. And it might, is it just money?
Nintendo cares. Nintendo actually gives a crap, I think. I think there's enough people in Nintendo who genuinely love gaming. Sony, I don't think Sony fanboys, and I guess I'm in that camp, like for this podcast purposes anyway, like Sony fanboys really think like Sony cares about them.
Right.
They don't. But Sony makes you feel like you do.
Right.
Again, you know, it feels that, like they do.
It's that brand recognition of just like they've done a very good job of like, if you buy this game, you know you're going to get a certain level of quality. That's hard to do. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like,
and
however,
I don't know how they do it. Like,
right.
Like,
but
so like,
for me, it's what, I get confused, and I'm a Nintendo fanboy when it, like, I play everything Nintendo because I'm dumb. Like, you know who bought Pikmin 3 and played it twice? I was like, this game sucks. This guy. Like, I don't like Pikmin. And I, you know, Splatoon. I am terrible at Splatoon. But you know what's going to happen when Splatoon 4 comes out? I'll be there day one to buy it and be like, oh, this sucks. And then, but it's like, I feel like I have to support them. However, like, I know when it sucks, however, what I'm trying to say is like, when I play Final Fantasy 16 and I call that game an 8, it feels like I just like murdered somebody. And how did they get to that point? And how can Microsoft get there? I guess is what I'm saying is like, what is that secret sauce to where it's like the perception of it, that this game can't be bad, and why can't Microsoft get there? So at least it would help their perception and help the Game Pass image. Like, that's what they need, right? They need to get that perception that maybe not that they care, but that quality is there. And that's, we're getting really into the weeds of like marketing at this point, but it's like, but that's what Game Pass is lacking, is that the Nintendo seal of quality is what it's lacking, I guess.
Exactly. No, that's exactly what is lacking. And you're not going to get there with people like, and I know you like your Spencers, but you're not going to get there with him at the helm. I mean, like, he himself, like, flat out said, like, we can't make good games. We're not going to try.
Right.
Well, and it's, yeah, like, And it was depressing to hear, because it's because I said it on the show before, like my biggest problem with Microsoft is they just starting. I bought that first Xbox because, and I stuck with it because they had so many great games on there, you know, like, and even like the not great games, you can see what they were trying to do, you know, like Microsoft back in the day really had their own Microsoft feel to games, if that makes sense. Like, you could play a game and feel like, oh, this is a Microsoft game for sure. And they moved farther and farther away from that over time. And now the worst thing I think they did was buy Activision, because now it's just going to be like, Activision and Bethesda, because now it's going to be like, let's just push out their games and not even worry about our own.
The quality control is not Microsoft's strong suit, obviously. But it only gets harder with each acquisition. And you just bought the big one. You know, you bought the one, and it's like, you know,
messiest ones too.
Right. And so, like, Call of Duty has a long lineage of being good and / bad. Blizzard has been gutted, you know, and, you know, WoW is another one that's like, has a lineage of being good / bad. But at the same time, like, you know, I look at Diablo 3, and to me, that's a perfect example of where, like, if you went online, you would think Diablo 3 is a travesty. Like, it is the worst RPG ever made. But the reality is, like, everybody bought it and played it for thousands of hours. So it's like, what am I trying to say here? Is I feel like I'm trying to, like, defend Microsoft, and that's not what I'm trying to say. Like, what I'm saying is, like, they need to just fix that perception, and I don't know how they do it, because the perception of reality, like, when you have Blizzard getting on stage and be like, "Don't you guys have phones? Like, stop that crap!" Like, those people should not be in charge in the slightest capacity. I agree with that guy. I totally agree with him. He's like, that's a normal reaction to have when you are trying to present a product that you feel is good, and everybody else around you is just like, "No, screw you, absolutely screw. We don't want this. I don't want this thing that you're trying to sell me." And then he's just like, "Well, you have a phone. Like, just play, just try it." That doesn't work though. Like, and Microsoft has to get off of that. Of like, it's not always the right thing is going to win. It's all about perception. Like, you have
also
to present it.
Peak Microsoft though. Peak Microsoft. Like, that announcement is something Microsoft would do.
For sure. It's like the 360 thing. Like, you know, don't want an Xbox One because it's always online. Buy a 360. It's like, no, like, that's not good, man. Like,
it's very much their marketing strategy to shoot themselves in the foot. They go like that's a perfect example. Like, the Microsoft would say right now, big news coming, huge news coming. Here it comes, Kinect 2 or 3.
Right.
And it's like, why would you hype that up knowing we don't want that? It's the same thing with Blizzard. Like, huge Diablo news coming, huge mobile game. Like, you know they don't want that.
Right.
Like, it's you don't need to stand on stage and even sell that. Like, that's a thing you can put out and people are going to do it anyway.
Just release it. Like, you'd have far more success if you just would have released that and just not said anything about it, because people are like, "Oh, I like Diablo."
Exactly. Like, shoot, this Diablo thing? Yeah, right. Like a holdover until the real game? Yeah.
Yeah. I got a message the other day from Capcom. There's a Devil May Cry phone game?
There is, apparently.
Like, that is trash. I'm sure it's trash. I haven't played it. I'm sure it's trash. However, you know what I did? I downloaded it. Like,
and I did the same thing, and I would not have done it if they said new Devil May Cry coming soon. Here it comes. And it's a mobile game. I'm like, nope, not doing it now. Like, but this is like basic stuff, you know? Like, this is basic stuff. Like, to compare it to Sony knows this too. And this is how Sony so backhandedly gets away with it, because they'll sit up there and hype a game like No Man's Sky.
Right.
And be like, "Oh, it sucks? Well, it's not our game. What are you talking about? We were just, put it on a stage, man." Like, Shenmue, like, they took all the credit for all of us Shenmue idiots to hype up Shenmue.
It. Right. They didn't even pay for it. They had you pay for it.
Yeah, but you know what?
You did it.
Thanks, Sony.
Right.
Yeah. Appreciate it. like you saved Shenmue again. It's like
Kingdom Hearts as well. Like, they saved Kingdom Hearts, right? Square Enix had nothing to do with it.
Sure did. Sure did. Like, and it's all because it's like, that might be what Sony does better than Microsoft is, I think there might be just enough people or processes or whatever on staff that is like, has some kind of ear to the streets, where it's like, the fans are all saying this one thing, so let's all say this one thing too. Whether or not we have any real interest in it, let's just say it also. And that itself gives them the goodwill. Well, Microsoft is still trying to, or was still trying to, follow trends. I mean, remember they put out was it this year? I think it was early this year where they put out a job application for people looking for people specifically like who made games like God of War or something. Like, yeah, it said like in the description, like, if you make games like God of War, please come over and make games for us.
It was like cinematic, you know, whatever, you know, similar to God of War or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you're doing it wrong, guys. Like, you gotta get ahead of the curve. It's already a God of War.
But
you know, or
I guess, like, and so for me, to kind of wrap this up and bring it all home, it's like, I feel like Game Pass is like truly the, look, we can boil it down and just be like, it's a rental service. Why do you care about it? And to me, it's like, yes, it's a rental service, but it's a rental service we all can be a part of and have fun together with, you know, and that's, I feel like Game Pass could be the thing. And I've said this for years. It's like, Xbox is dead. Game Pass is what Xbox is. Like,
yeah,
that is their ace. It's not even the ace in the hole, because it's not wildly successful. It's very successful, but it is not a, it's not a home run. And it's like you said, it's just like, man, like they constantly put their foot in their mouth about everything that they do. And it's like, how do you keep doing, like, again, it goes, you released a Hi-Fi Rush, but then you also released Redfall. Like, it's so bizarre to me.
And that, you promoted it.
Right.
Like, you promoted, like, I get that you might have to release it for some sort of tax purposes, or maybe or some sort of business decision. I get that. But to hype it up on top of that, why would you? I would not have given that game to IGN.
Right.
That would have been the biggest stealth drop ever. Like, there's no way I'm giving that to IGN. There's no way I'm giving that to YouTubers. There's no way I'm putting that out there. But if I had to release it, drop it on Game Pass, real quiet, like, oh, this game kind of sucks, and no one would have known.
But
it would have been one of the 78 other games we played this year that sucks, and we said nothing about it.
But that's when I don't want this to go another tangent, but we keep saying they knew, right? But did they?
That makes it even,
like,
worse.
Right. Like, did they? But did they know? Like,
we don't
did
know.
Did they know? Like, I just don't. How did you run preview events for that? And I guess that preview event worked, though, in what they wanted to do. Of a lot of people came out of that preview event, that IGN event, and they weren't like over the moon about it, but they were very much like, I liked what I played. You know, like, that was a sentiment of like, this has, it's not the next, you know, whatever, but it's, keep your eye on it. But then it's like, again, you had to have known, right? Like, the AI in that game was brain dead. Like, you could just walk by them and they just didn't react. It's like, you had to have known that, right? Like, it's such a strange thing.
I believe they know, but that's why they get the criticism of not caring, because
fair enough.
Because, like, look at Starfield, like, the very mixed reviews that's getting, that got delayed.
Right.
What were they going to put out before right. before the mixed reviews started coming out? I mean, look at going back to Halo again, like, that's your poster child. That got delayed as well. Like, what were you going to put out before? Like, who's looking? I think Spencer or whoever it might be is looking at the whole picture so well in terms of numbers and subscriptions and stuff like that, that there's a process or person missing that is looking at the games themselves. You know, like, Sony took a while, but they built a reputation on taking chances in the industry with games like Demon's Souls that took off, games like Katamari Damacy that, like, why is this little dumb game popular? Like, I mean, Journey, games like Journey that helped pop off, Journey, Flower, and all those games that helped pop off this little indie revolution, like, and then now all these games kind of look like them and feel like them, like, it's, but they also took chances on games like Haze and Mag and other stuff. Just like, they have a good feeling for, let's try something unique. Let's take a chance on something new. Here's some money. We'll check back with you in a few and hope it's doing okay. I mean, I think the famous story about Demon's Souls is the money they were given the studio, they asked them to make a particular game, like Skyrim, I think, and the developers flat out lied to them during the process.
Mm-hmm.
And then came out with something that they'd rather put out instead. Compare that to Redfall, where you have Bethesda and Microsoft throwing money at a team who doesn't want to make the game. I think maybe that's the perfect time. You have a Demon Souls like lead.
That's Hi-Fi Rush. Like Hi-Fi Rush was that game. Like they sent that game out, and it's not that they didn't have confidence in it, but like they relied on the stealth drop of like, yo, new game now, instead of promoting the game. And like, again, we've had that conversation of which is the right way. And I don't know if there's a right answer on that one, but it's a fair point in your argument of like, you should have promoted that game, cause that's a damn good game. Like,
I mean, but even more importantly, like they had like, I feel like you need a game developer lead at the top, who's going to run interference, if you will, with these companies, who's like, when Microsoft and Bethesda say, make me a Redfall, you need someone on that team who's going to say, yeah, we'll do that. Okay, so we're not doing that. Right. Let's take this money and make something else. Like, something else that's a little better, a little more unique at the very least. I mean, I think that's missing in the Microsoft brand. I mean, Nintendo is way too up the butts of developers when they make stuff for Nintendo. And I think Sony's way too hands off at times. That's how you get like an Order 1886 or some crap. But they still give opportunity to the random unique ideas. Whereas, I mean, seriously, like you have the Rare brand. I could say brand because those developers are long gone. I mean, where's my Viva Pinata 4 or whatever? Like, you know, like, where's all these cool, unique, like, I really thought by now the Game Pass system would have produced more very out there, interesting, unique titles like a Viva Pinata, like these B-level games, but they just...
Right, it really hasn't.
They just falling back on a Bethesda Activision machine now. And it's pretty disappointing.
I think what's kind of interesting on that point is like they did buy those smaller developers like a
They bought like 30, 40 teams.
Yeah, I can't think of any of their names right now. The people that are making, they made Contrast, and you know, like they bought some of these teams that were smaller. Who made Wasteland 3, what the heck? In Exile. Like, mm-hmm. they're not known to make these giant AAA games, and they bought all them. And so, to me, I think you also look at Ninja Theory and Hellblade 2, and it's like, I can't sit here and be like, it's a bad decision to give Ninja Theory all that time and money. Like, they showed off Hellblade 2 in 2019 as the poster child for the Series X. It's still not out, and it's coming out next in 2024, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is, like, I find it strange that Ninja Theory hasn't put out anything else besides that terrible third person shooter that we played. The heck was that game called?
I played a Ninja Theory game recently.
Yeah, we did. It was it was last year. What the heck was the name of that game? It was like that hyper artistic game as the third person. We actually kind of liked it, but it was pretty dumb, pretty bad. Bleeding Edge. So,
oh, that's right.
And
that's
so it's
right.
Like, it's strange to me that, like, but then again, so we're arguing against ourselves. It's like, maybe they really wanted to make Bleeding Edge. Like,
no, right, no, but yeah. but that's the gamble you have to take, though. Like, let
fair enough.
You have to gamble on the artist, because that's going to create your branding at the end of the day. I mean, it's unfortunate that you don't see these B-level developers put out more B-level games. Like Ninja Theory is a perfect example. Like, they've teased this huge AAA blockbuster game back in 2019, when really they should be putting out more Ninja Gaiden type stuff.
Right.
Like put out a smaller hit. Like, you don't need, like, again, going back to what I said, like, the industry is so top heavy, but Microsoft more so than Sony and Nintendo combined. They spent entire years on Starfield.
Well, and you have now literally 40 to 50 developers. It's like, you should be able to, you know, they're talking about a major AAA title every quarter, and it's just like, that's great. But like you said, Game Pass should be giving you the opportunity to make more stuff. But again, that's not their goal, right? It's, you know, again, they talk out of both sides about it. They're a very confusing company. So to wrap this up, you know, it's, I don't think we feel any differently overall of just like, we're still sort of confused about Microsoft in general. We still support Game Pass, obviously. And I still think that most people should have Game Pass, especially if you have an Xbox. But it does feel like, to wrap this all back around, is this year was like their year to where Sony, like, they had Spider-Man and they had Final Fantasy, and those were big hitters, but like, they did not hit the way that the God of Wars did and Ghost of Tsushima did and stuff like that. They might sell a lot, but like, the word of mouth, like, Sony did not take home a single award at the Game Awards. I did that in quotes, because,
right,
you know, like,
we don't respect it.
Right. But like, that is telling to me that like, that was your opportunity. And this year you had Forza, you had Starfield, you had Hi-Fi Rush and Redfall. Like, you put out these games on a marketing standpoint that should have been higher caliber, and you still didn't sell more Xboxes, and you haven't talked about subscription numbers, which tells me that they're not growing exponentially.
Exactly.
So that's the part that I want to say I'm confused about, but I'm genuinely surprised, because I thought that the name alone of the Forza and the Starfield would have sold more Game Pass subscriptions and consoles than it did.
That is kind of crazy when you think about it. Like you basically in free Forza. Like,
right.
You'd think that would be a thing, but it goes back to perception. I mean, Spider-Man 2 didn't take home a single award, but at the same time, what's the discourse now? Why didn't this game get a single award? Like, the fan base is out, like, we want awards for this game. We love it so much. Whereas like, Starfield didn't get a single award. What's the discourse? Let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it.
I understand that, you know, like, I get it. So it's a very strange thing to where I think coming out of last year, I think we thought, you know, that this year would, not that they would turn around, but it's like, it's always that joke of like, well, next year is Microsoft's year, you know, like, they had potential for it to be the, like, all their acquisitions, everything that they've been building towards since their colossal screw up, which was the Xbox One, and the way their vision of the platform was, is that it was now supposed to be the culmination of not everything, but the start of that culmination. And I think they did a relatively decent job on a marketing standpoint and proving that, yes, we can put out AAA stuff 3 to 4 times a year. However, the stuff that they put out, you had a Redfall in there and stuff. So it's like, they're getting closer. But to me, I still thought, even with a Redfall situation, I thought they would have done better this year from a gamer's perspective, from a mindset perspective, and they did not, which is genuinely surprising to me. So I don't know how they combat that, and I'm mainly going to be sitting here, look, you know, in the bleachers, like, I'm curious what you're going to do to try to change this, you know, because just putting out games isn't going to work for you, clearly, because you keep putting your foot in your mouth every time you put one out. So
yeah, essentially, and gamers aren't responding the way I thought they would either. I mean, I thought after they bought Activision, especially after Bethesda, I'm like, oh, so the average gamer is going to associate Call of Duty with Microsoft again. And it's like, no, we're just gonna buy Call of Duty. Like, we're not buying Game Pass to play Call of Duty. Like, why would we do that?
Yeah. Well, but to be fair, like, that still could happen. Like, that's still relatively new, and I'd be interested to see. I'm interested in that thing, that whole perspective, because I think, I don't know if we ever said this, but I was always a little bit skeptical of the Bethesda buyout in terms of it having that weight that they thought it did. And to me, like, it was based on Skyrim, right? It's like, well, Skyrim is like the game. But then I am the person that said, and was, again, possibly one of the dumbest things I've ever said, is I don't think Skyrim is going to be that great. like that's what I said when Skyrim was coming out. And because I was just like, I don't know, like, I'm not impressed by it kind of thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You were definitely nuts on that one. After playing Morrowind, I was very hype. Very, very hype.
See, I loved in Oblivion. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I loved Oblivion. I was so hype. But everything I was seeing about Skyrim, I was just like, but like, I think that myself, and I think Microsoft and probably everyone thought that the Starfield name was, and the Bethesda name was, probably going to do more than it did. And it,
oh, yep,
it really didn't. And that's,
well,
that's somewhat surprising to me.
Well, keep in mind, they bought them
after they made Fallout 4 in 76. So, I mean,
fair point. Yeah.
So it's like the writing's like, even when they do something like you think is savvy and smart, it's like you bought Bethesda after they released 76.
Right.
Like, which, even though they've been trying for years to do it, obviously, but I mean, like, the prime time would have been Fallout 4 time, like, you know, like, before the writing was on the wall, really.
But even then,
same with Activision.
Yeah, but you, that's the word I want to say here, like, you don't, it's hard to make that prediction, but.
Absolutely.
I have to wonder if coming out of this and next year, like, will the Call of Duty on Game Pass matter? I think right now, if we had to predict, it's like, it doesn't feel like it's going to, right? Like,
it's not, as long as it's on both systems. If it's on both systems, right, then it's not going to matter, because the Call of Duty player is just going to buy Call of Duty.
See, that's how, based on everything that happened with Starfield, I agree with you, but at the same time, maybe it won't. Like, that's the stuff that I'm interested in. It's like the stuff that you think is a slam dunk. And I didn't think Bethesda was ever a slam dunk, but it seemed like a lot of people did think that it was like, this is the smartest move Microsoft has done. And I'm just like,
before that, they were only like the highest rating game was like what, Doom, like, or something.
Probably.
Like they were like, before they bought them or during the process, they weren't putting out bangers. We're all waiting for the next Skyrim or Starfield or Fallout. We're all waiting for like the next big thing, like
which was Starfield.
What was that game that the Dishonored team made?
Dishonored.
The Dishonored team, like the game they just made, put out. I forgot the name of it.
They did Redfall.
Deathloop.
Oh, Deathloop. Got it.
Yeah, even that game was mixed reviews. Like, some people really liked it, some people were like, "Eh, it's fine." And then, so you bought a publishing company that was kind of like putting out more misses than hits,
right?
At that point,
they sold them on Fallout and, you know, in Skyrim. It feels like, and that's again, exactly, like on paper, it seems like that, but it's just, again, I was always skeptical of that because I was just like, I just don't the Bethesda name is not Elder Scrolls. Elder Scrolls is Elder Scrolls, you know?
Exactly.
And that was always my take on it. And I know Fallout's super popular, but it's not Elder Scrolls. Like, and that's, I'm not saying that like Fallout does not sell. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is just like Elder Scrolls to me was what put that company on the map. But that association, I feel like they thought the Bethesda Association was going to do more. I thought it was going to do more than it did. And it sort of comes back to that, you know, that thing that we talk about off the air a lot of times. It's just like the developer doesn't really matter sometimes, like, because developers are just people and people get new jobs and they leave and they do new things. And it's like, it's almost impossible to predict these things. So I don't think Call of Duty is going to matter. It's like, if we look at the landscape now, it's like, yeah, that's how I feel too. But at the same time, I could totally be like, I would not be surprised if whatever Modern Warfare 4 comes out next year and it's like, they get 15 million Game Pass subscribers off of it. It's just like, okay, like clearly it's impossible to predict this industry at all.
even then it will be for a month. You know,
like, maybe, but
like,
Call of Duty is the one. Like, what if it's Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 level of just like, this is the greatest shooter ever made.
The Call of Duty player is still just going to buy Call of Duty because you're not going to convince that player to rent Call of Duty. They're going to pre-order it and buy it.
Sure.
They're not going you can't convince them to rent it at that point. They're like. First of all, it doesn't need to be that good for it to sell record numbers. First of all, like the next Call of Duty is already pre-ordered by everyone who bought Call of Duty this year.
Right. But it's,
you know, it's really a bad Game Pass title. If anything,
it's fair. Yeah.
If anything, if they're smart about it, I feel like give the Game Pass player the Battle Pass for free, or for Game Pass.
Rather, yeah, that's a good point.
Technically free.
Right.
Like, once you have Game Pass, you have the Battle Pass.
That's what Valorant does, right? Like, that's if you're a Valorant player or a League of Legends player and you have Game Pass, you get everything, from what I understand.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good point. So, you get a 20% XP boost if you're a Game Pass member in League of Legends. What do you get for Valorant here? 20% XP boost given to Battle Pass, Event Pass, and Active Agent Contract Progress. Day one access to every new agent as they release. So yeah, you got a point. You got a point there. Maybe that's the key, is to get, instead of subscribing to Activision directly, subscribe to Xbox. Battle Pass. Right? So, but there you go. We're gonna wrap it up there. We talked a lot. Weird industry, right? Like I said, this year, while it was a fantastic year, I don't want to say I was shocked, because I was not, but I expected Microsoft's numbers to look better than they did. So not that we were sitting here saying like, oh, they're going to overpass Sony. I just thought they were going to do better from a PR standpoint and a number standpoint than they are. So it'll be interesting to see how next year goes. I think the only stuff that they have confirmed for next year is Towerborn and Hellblade. So those are the only two games that we know about. So
nuts to me, guys.
They have other stuff announced, but they have not confirmed it. So, but they did that developer direct last year in January, and that was super solid. Like that gave you the entire lookout for the year, basically. So I have a feeling they're going to do that again with E3 dying as well. You know, their summer showcase will probably be pretty similar, but we'll see. But yeah, it's going to be a wild year with all the Activision titles, like. And the Bethesda titles, and you got Indiana Jones. You've got supposedly there's a new Doom game. You've got this Blade game that just got announced. That's probably not coming out for a long time, but you got all those IP that you got from Activision. Like, you technically own Tony Hawk and Spyro now. Are you going to do anything with those? Like, so.
Jeez, like, they're sitting on a goddamn gold mine, I tell you.
It is truly bizarre how much Microsoft owns now. And the next couple of years will be very interesting to see how they play this chess match. So, but as always, Nintendo is king. So, I'll be buying Switch 2 day one to play Mario Wonder 4, whatever they put out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm down with that. So the Switch has been the best console, for many years.
Yep. I'm going to close on this by saying anybody that says Nintendo does not compete, like, there always seems to be this silo of Sony versus Microsoft and Nintendo's off doing their own thing. No, the answer is Nintendo is beating the crap out of both of them.
Exactly.
They're beating the crap out of Sony a lot less. But this notion that Sony is winning, no, Nintendo is winning. That's what really matters in this conversation. So, all right, that's going to do it for this year in Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you in 2024. I already have some titles that I've played, and I'm sure we'll talk about them. But, we'll see what happens. But all right, that's going to do it for this year in Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you in 2024.
Good day, sirs.